Okay, Mary, am I on? Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. A little bit different being up here. You know, I kind of like to hide in the back behind the computer. So a little bit easier back there than it is up here. But when I got asked to share, I was humbled and amazed and thankful. You know, we were singing about how great our God is this morning. And before we get started, I just want to welcome everyone here. Glad that you've taken your time to come out and be with us. And if there's anybody new here, I know my daughter and my grandson are here, Jessica and Nathaniel, and I appreciate them being here. But, you know, when I began to think about what we were going to talk about today, over the last several months, God has been really ministering to me. But I've got a couple of scriptures that I'd like to read before we get started. And in Psalms 18:30, it says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all those that trust in him." And over the years, I know in my own life, he's been a shield to me. And I put all my trust in him. And there's times that I haven't trusted in him. There's times that I've tried to do things my own way. And I think most of you know that doesn't work out real well. And okay. And then my wife reminded me about the offering. So I'm, but let me read this next scripture and then we'll go into that. And then the other scripture is, it's in 2 Timothy 2:13, and Pastor read it last week, and it says, "If we are faithful or faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself ever. He will not deny himself at any time, now or in the future," or he didn't deny himself back then. But before we get started, I'd like to just pray over the offering and call the ushers up and take the offering for the morning. So, Father, we thank you for your blessings upon this times of tithes and offerings, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for your hand upon us. We thank you that you blessed the gift and the giver, Lord God. And we thank you, Father God, that you will use this tithes and offerings to your service and to your glory in Jesus Christ's name. So, amen. So, ushers, would you come up? Praise God. Well, you know, it's always a pleasure whenever we can give our tithes and offerings to God. You know, it's a form of worship to God. When we give our tithes and offerings to him, not only do we bless the church, but we bring God's blessings into our life. You know, over the years, you know, being a tither, you know, when you're a faithful tither and a giver, you know, God honors that. He really sees us, and he really blesses our hand. He blesses the things that we do. He blesses our jobs. He blesses us wherever we go. He protects us, and he keeps us. So God's an amazing God. So, I'm a little discombobulated here this morning. We had some computer glitches, so I'm trying to, I've got my notes in front of me, so we're going to just go from there. But anyway, so as I began to think back, I guess probably over the last several months or longer possibly, you know, God's really been talking to me about my relationship with him. I've really gone back. I've gone back as far as when I was a young child and the things that God was doing in my life. And what he was doing then, and I see the love of God in my life from the time I was born, and I see it until right now. You know, I'm amazed that how God is so faithful. Even when we're not faithful, God is always faithful. And You know, I began to look at the things and how God put people in my path back then to bring me to the place that I am right now. You know, God didn't judge me. He just gently, brought people into my life whenever, you know, throughout the course of my life, He would bring people into my life that would witness Christ to me, tell me that I needed the Lord, and I'd go, yeah, you know, sure, and this, that, and the other. And then you move on, you forget it, and you do your own thing. And then another time later, He comes and He draws you back to Himself. He tries to encourage you to come. And I was sharing with one of the brothers that I remember as a young child. I used to watch Billy Graham, and I used to watch Oral Roberts and the healing ministries. And even though I didn't understand it, I didn't know what was going on. I was a child, you know. But all I knew that I was drawn to that, I didn't criticize it or mock it, and I didn't disbelieve it, but I just knew that there was something there. And then I can see how that through my life, how God was forming my life. You know, am I a great preacher or a great healer? No. Jesus Christ is the healer. Jesus Christ is the one that brings people to Himself. And, you know, it's the goodness of God that He allows people to come into our lives and they begin to share with us and tell us, look, there's a better way. There's an easier way that you can do these things. And so as I begin this journey back through my life, I really began to understand the love of God towards me. I really believed and I really understood how that God has been getting my attention for the last 61 years. You know, I know that He's been talking to me. There's times that and I know you're going to find this hard to believe, that I've not been perfect. You know, and I know that there's some of you out there that are not perfect, right?
Right.
Yeah. None of us can say that we're perfect. But the whole thing is God doesn't look at our perfection. God looks at our heart. You know, one of the amazing things about God is that no matter how many times we try and we fail and we try and we fail, God is always there to pick us up. He's always our comforter. He's always there to bring us what we need. I want to start with 1 John 3:1. Katie, if you could bring that up, please. Like I said, we're having some computer problems, so we'll deal with that. But in 1 John 3:1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it didn't know Him." You know, what manner of love has the Father given unto us? You know, He showed us great kindness and love. Even when we were out in the world and we were being crazy and, you know, we were living in sin, God still sent His Son to come to us to bring us back to salvation, to that point of life. And when I began my trek back through time, you know, I really began to see God not as just as God. I mean, I know that God's there. He's almighty. He's all powerful. But really, I began to see God as my Father. He is my dad. You know, and I can honestly say that, you know, I've disappointed my dad at times. I've disappointed the people around me at times. But you know what? Anytime that I've disappointed God and I've come back to Him, He's always there to forgive me. He's always there to bring me back into reality and bring a check in my life and say, yeah, you blew it, you screwed up, but now you just move on. And, you know, that's what I do. I come to God as my Father. I don't talk to Him like God. I don't pray to Him and say, oh, Holy Father, you know, this, that, and the other. I pray to Him and I say, Dad, look, what's going on here? What's going on in my life? I need your answers. I need your help. You know, and you know, you fathers out there, and even you mothers, how many times have your kids came to you and asked you stuff? You know, you don't turn them away. You don't turn them away. You love them. You give them the best answer that you possibly know. And sometimes we don't know what to say. As a father, I know with my kids growing up, I didn't always have the answers because I didn't know myself. I didn't have somebody, you know, I grew up mainly without a father, and I didn't understand that type of relationship, but I did the best that I could with my family. But yet, when my children came to me, I did the best that I knew how, and I believe that every one of you in here are doing the same thing with your own family. You know, they come to you, they ask you questions, you answer them to the best of your ability. And I'm sure, like me, if you don't have the answers, you'll find them. And it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. And then in Romans 8:15, it says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whom by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And Abba, Father, Daddy, he's my dad. And see, not only when I'm in trouble, but when I'm going through my daily life and I'm looking for answers, I'm searching for answers and asking God for direction and really knowing where to go, you know, I cry out to my dad. He's not God up there somewhere that maybe he'll hear me and maybe he won't. No, he's my dad. My relationship with my father is because of Jesus Christ the Son. And, you know, when I remember when my wife and I, when Donna and I came back to Ohio, it was probably one of the hardest times of my life. We had lost good jobs. We had left an area that we had been familiar with for quite a few years. And when we came back here, we really didn't know what was going on. And I was really unhappy. I was pretty bitter, actually, about it. And I couldn't understand why God wanted me back here. And I blamed him. Sorry. And I said, God, I don't know what you're doing in my life. I don't even know why you'd want me here. I said, I love my family. I've got my children here. But I said, what purpose is there for me to be here? And I was pretty blatant with God, and I was angry, I was bitter, and I just said, God, you got to show me. And I remember a brother, and I'm not big for people just touching me and laying hands on me. I remember a brother coming up and praying for me in the back of the church there. And he prayed that God would lead us and direct us, and that he would open up a job for us and open up situations for us. And at that time in my life, that meant so much to me because, like I said, I'm not big on people just touching me. And I knew that it was from God, and I received it from the Lord. And I thank him for that to this day. But it's just, I couldn't understand what God was trying to do to me. And as we settled in and we began to get back into things here, you know, I began to talk to God more and more about what was going on, and I began to see how he was arranging things in our lives you know, how he was really putting back the pieces together after we had been gone for so long. Wasn't that I didn't want to be with family. It was just I wanted to know what was going on. I was out of control. My wife and I had both lost our jobs. You know, we had some houses out in Utah. We didn't have those anymore. And so we were not in control. We were at the mercy of God. And I was wondering, you know, God, what are you doing? You know, what are you trying to do to us? What are you trying to say to us? Where do you want us to go? And I was just being honest with God. I mean, I'll be first to tell you, when it comes to, you know, words, sometimes I'm pretty direct, and I can be direct, and I don't mean to be rude, but I can be pretty direct. But I just cried out to my Father, and I said, God, what are you doing in my life? What do you want me to accomplish? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to be? What is the purpose for all of that? And then things began to open up, and I began to see one thing after the other, why God was bringing us here. And so I appreciate the Father God. I don't look at him as just the God of heaven and earth. I look at him as my dad. And, you know, today I want to read a little bit about the prodigal son. But in Luke 15:11, and I'm going to take a little different perspective of it because, you know, like normally when we hear about the prodigal son, we hear about how the prodigal son, how he went out and he lived riotously, and he was blowing his money foolishly. But here, let me just start out. In verse 11, it says, then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So So he divided them his livelihood. Okay, now, and I started looking at the father here a little bit, and I said, you know, Father, why, this guy didn't just come to his dad one day and says, hey, I want all my money, I've got this business deal, I got this hot deal that I'm going out to. And how many of you fathers, how many of us, how many of your kids have come to you and they had this great deal and they ask you for something and you looked at them like, are you nuts? You know, and I kind of looked at the father like this. I looked at when the son came to his father and wanted all of his inheritance, the father's going like, man, you're crazy, I'm not doing that. So I would imagine over time this wasn't just a one-time deal. It was over and over that he came to him, and finally the father gave in to him. And it said, not many days, so the father gave him his inheritance. And it says, not many days after, the young son gathered all the possessions and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal or riotous living. But when he had spent all, there was a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the pigs or the swine. And he said, he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. So here's this guy, he's out, he's taken all of his money now, he's blown it, he's partied, he went crazy. He lost his mind, really. And it said that he got so destitute that he began to eat with the pigs and the swine. And it said nobody would give him anything. And now, can you imagine, this guy had all this money, he was out, he was partying, and all of his buddies were there, and he was buying, let's say he was buying drinks and dinners and doing all those things. And all of a sudden, now he doesn't have any more money, so because he doesn't have any more money, all of his friends are gone. Now his friends are gone. And it says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? So this guy's getting a clue that he's really blown it. And he says, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And so he arose and he started his journey back home. And in verse 20 here, I want you to see this. I really want you to pay close attention to this. It says, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. His father was watching for him. Every day he went out to that road, and he was looking down that road and praying that God would bring his son home safely. And it says, and when the father saw him, he had compassion, and he ran, and he fell, and he kissed his neck. This father, I tell you, and isn't that like our Heavenly Father? How many times have we been out there, and we've blown it, and we've messed up royal, and we come back to the Father, and we repent, and we say, Father, forgive me, I've sinned against you, I am so sorry. And how many times does the Father God, how many times does he say, come on back, come on in, you're welcome? He said, don't do it again. You know, he picks us up, he dusts us off, and he puts us back on that right path. And I don't know about you, I suppose that me, like many people, I blow it a lot. And, you know, when I blow it, I know where to go. I don't like blowing it, but when I do, I know where to go. I go to my Father, and I ask him for help. And the father ran and fell on his neck and kissed him and said, and the son said to his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I no longer am worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, now isn't this like God? Bring out the fatted calf. Let's have a party. My son was dead and now he's home. My son was dead. He was out living with drunkards and prostitutes. He was living in crazy situations and he was blowing his money. And now he's come home, he's alive again. He's repented and now he's back in right standing with his father. So when they brought out the father brought out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and the sandals on his feet. And he said, bring the fatted calf here and kill it. and let us eat and be merry, for my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and now is found. And they began to be merry. So they partied. And you know something? There's a lot of times that when you and I are out in the world, we do things that are not pleasing to God. Sometimes we go through situations and we don't know how to deal with them. But when we come back to the Father, he picks us up. He lifts us up. He draws us back into himself. And he says, you know what? I'm always here for you. I can help you. Just trust in me. Trust in me with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. He said, don't try to figure it out. Just trust me. You know, and how many times have I had to trust God, and how many times have you in your life had to trust God in your life? You know, there's every one of us. I mean, I look at everyone in here, and I know that every one of us is different. And I know that every one of us have suffered maybe some of the same things. Some of us have suffered a lot of different things. And some of us are going through tremendous trials in our life, and some have gone through tremendous trials in our life. But you know what? God is always there. He's always our Father. You know, he's always the one to say, you know, son, just trust me, believe in me, come to me, come to church, listen to the Word of God, get in the Word of God, and find out what the truth is for your life. See, out there, we have no hope. And if you begin to look at the world today with the world situation, I mean, if you watch the news, every day there's somebody being killed or robbed or beaten or taken. You know, there's danger all over the place. You know, everywhere you go out there. And if we look to that as our standard, then we have no hope. Our hope is in the Lord. You know, our hope is in the Lord. Even when we fail, we can come here and he can put us back on that right path. You know, the Father, his love is never ending. You know, God will never leave you or forsake you. And you know, I prayed that prayer a long time ago. I said to God, I said, you know what, God, no matter what I go through in my life, no matter what is happening in my life right now, never ever take your hand off of me. Don't ever let me go too far that I can't come back. And I pray that to this day. I pray it as often, you know, as I can, because I really believe that. I don't want to go out there. There's nothing to go to. If you're running to the world and you think the world has the answers, and you think that money and power and position or maybe jobs or whatever, you think that's the answer, it's not. The answer is in the Bible. It's in the Word of God. It's Jesus Christ. He's the one that died for your sins. He's the one that will give you life and freedom and hope. You know, it just an amazing thing. And it says, you know, and I want to go back to the scripture here, and it says, and they began to be merry. And now his older brother, or his older son, was in the field, and he heard all the commotion, and it says, and he came and drew near to the house, and he heard the music and dancing, so he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant, and he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. Now, can you imagine this? The father has had mercy and compassion upon his son because he was lost, and now he's found and he's come home. And now the brother that's always been with the father, that's been faithful, you know, and is that like us? How many of us, when we're faithful and we come to church on a regular basis and we do the things of God, how many times have we looked to somebody that's blown it, or maybe they've gone out and fell back, and they come in and we look at them and go, man, are you stupid or what? And I've always been here. You know, I didn't go anywhere. But you know what? God loves them just as much as he loves you and me. He cares for all of us. It doesn't matter how good or how bad we are. God's love never fails. He's always the same. He's always consistent. And, you know, and then it says, but he was angry and would not go in, you know. And sometimes, and I've not really had this experience, but sometimes when people do things like that, and he said he was angry and would not go in, he was jealous. Here, the father had given this guy all this money. He went out and partied and did whatever he want. Now the older brother didn't do that. He stayed faithful and stayed working. Now he's jealous because his brother got all of this stuff, And he stayed there and was faithful. Now he's mad at the younger brother. So pretty amazing. And then it says, therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. Again, the love of the father. And, you know, I can remember a time when my son went to Iraq. He was overseas in Iraq. And it was probably one of the hardest times of my life. And you know, every one of my kids are important. And there's been situations in all of their lives to where, you know, that I've looked and wondered how God was going to work it out and trust that he does. And relationships sometimes get strained. And but when my son was in Iraq, I knew exactly where he was. I knew what kind of vehicle he was in. And when he went to Iraq the first time, it was probably the hardest time of my life, because it was like, I can remember, and I think you fathers and mothers can relate to this, you know what they walk like, you know how they talk, you know what they act like. And I can remember my son at the airport when he had come home and had to go back. I remember my son walking away, and it was just like, man, am I ever going to see that walk again, you know? And, you know, it's a hard thing to experience as a parent, but, you know, the whole time my son was gone, I didn't rest. I slept maybe a couple hours a night. You know, the phone rang, I was tense. It was a terrible time. And parents, if you've ever had a son or a daughter or a mother or a father overseas in an intense situation, you know what that's like. It's not just your son or your daughter there, it's you. You're there with them. You're praying that God will keep them safe. You're praying as a father that nothing will happen to them. And I remember when my son got shot. He was shot by a sniper, and he's okay, and he's home and well and good. But I remember when he got shot, my prayer was, God, let it be bad enough that he cannot go back. That was my prayer. And whether it was right or wrong, I didn't know. But that, as a father, that's what I felt, because I didn't want to see my son go back into that situation, because I knew if he went back, I'd never see him again. And I knew, in my heart, I knew that. And, so we as parents, we as fathers, we have sometimes many different hats to wear, whether it's with our son or with our daughter or sons or however, you know. It's that love that God's put within us as fathers, you know. And it says, the father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years have I been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And you never let me, you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours, and you see how he said that? As soon as this son of yours, it wasn't his brother, this son of yours. So he had already separated himself from his brother. And it says, as soon as this son of yours came, sorry, give me just 1 minute here. But he says, as soon as this son came, it says that you gave him the fatted calf, and you had a party for him, and so he was pretty well ticked off. Lost my place here, so sorry about that. But verse 30, okay, there it is. Okay, but as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said unto him, son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right for him that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. And, you know, isn't that like the father? He was playing both sides, you know. He fell on the neck of his son that came home, and he also tried to work it out with the elder son that was giving him problems. So he was playing the dual role there. But that's the love of the father, you know. And how many times have you and I disappointed our father, and yet he's picked us up and he's cleaned us up and he's brought us back? And so at this time, I want to just take a couple of minutes. You know, I don't know if there's anyone in here that's not born again. I know most of you, there's some that I may not know. But if there's anybody in here that, you know, God's been talking to you. Maybe he's been putting people in your path for a while. Maybe he's been, you know, trying to get your attention, trying to bring you to the place of repentance. I don't know. You know, sometimes being out there, it's kind of a tough situation. But, you know, I want you to open up your heart this morning. I want you to, if God's been talking to you, if by the Spirit of God that he's been telling you, you need to get right with him, I want to open up the invitation to you this morning. You know, of course we know the scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Then he says in Romans 3:23, he said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if that's you this morning, and you know that you're not walking with the Lord, and you want to get right, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to take a step. I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith and come forward. If God's been dealing with your life, he wants to fix you. He wants to, anything that's going on in your life right now, he wants to take care of. You know, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know, again, that's the Father. So if there's anybody in here that wants to receive the Lord, I'm going to ask you to come forward. We'll pray a simple prayer. And at that moment, you'll be free. You'll be in right standing with God. So is there anybody here? Okay. So, well, just know that no matter, you know, if you feel like that you should be doing it, it's not too late. You can come up and see us after the service. But I encourage you, don't wait. Don't allow another minute to pass until you receive the Lord. Just let God have control of your life. And so bless God. So, yes, sir. Phil, could you come up? Yes, sir.